Hello and welcome to the Connected Community Podcast. Today, my guest is Victoria Craig, who is a breathwork, plant medicine, and feminine embodiment coach. Today, Victoria and I explore breathwork as a path to healing. Sometimes we store these emotions and these feelings in our body and we repress them. And over time, they just come to the surface in negative ways. Breathwork can be a path of healing and self-exploration and transformation, going into these feelings, understanding our body, understanding what's going on inside, and releasing them, releasing things that no longer serve us so that we can be a lighter and brighter version of ourselves. I really hope that you'll enjoy this episode. I absolutely loved my time with Victoria. She is a bright spirit and she has so much knowledge and wisdom to share. Please, if you're enjoying these podcasts, take a moment to give us a like, a share, and a subscribe. And I want to thank you so much for being here today. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome to the Connected Community Podcast, a place to explore possibility through mindfulness, movement, and self-discovery. Our intention is to deliver insight and inspiration while fostering conversations that are genuine, unfiltered, and deeply human. We hope you will enjoy today's episode. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to the Connected Community Podcast.
Hey, so good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I've really been looking forward to this call, definitely. You've been on my calendar for a while, and I'm so excited to interview you. So you do breath work, plant medicine, and then you're a female embodiment coach. So I'd like to begin by what that means to you when I say that.
So really, I interweave all of the medicines and bodywork that has helped me to heal, you know, come home to myself, come home to my body. And when I say come home to my body, this is kind of the feminine piece, is actually feeling safe to live in our body and be connected with our feminine energy, feminine essence.
Mm-hmm. And so what is the womb healing that you talk about? What is that specifically?
When we talk about the womb, we talk about the womb space, which is very much linked with, you know, around it's a sacral chakra area. If we look at what we've been taught about our womb, it's generally that it's, you know, it's a physical organ and it's where we birth baby. There is so much more to our womb. There's a spiritual, energetic, and emotional space to our womb. When our womb is out of balance or we're disconnected from our womb, that part of our body, it can show up in multiple ways in our body, physically, in our body, in our life, so physically, emotionally, energetically. So if we look at the womb space, it's our center for power, for creativity, for abundance, for obviously birthing, right? But not just babies. This is where we're like birth our ideas, you know, our businesses, whatever that is that we want to bring in and create in this world, it's birth through this portal. It is a portal. You know, if we think how powerful we are as women, because we actually bring souls from another dimension.
Yeah.
Bring our bodies into our physical 3D world. We never really think about it like that, but it's just like, wow, this is we have so much power within our body and within this space. So anything, if we look at what can physically manifest or show up in that area, I always say for women, if they've got any physical issues, ailments, or dis-ease that is really linked to anything to do with our female organs, genitals, and Mike heard of it as the vagina, we don't resonate today, it's what really resonates for me. So things like UTIs, any kind of fertility issue, pelvic inflammatory disease, any like STDs, any issues around menstrual cycle, whether it's incredibly heavy, painful menstrual cycles, no menstrual cycle, irregular menstrual cycle, all of these ailments or symptoms that are showing up in our body, it's an invitation to go deeper into this space. It kind of acts as an emotional jump draw when we're disconnected. Mm-hmm. The emotion that is very much can weigh down this space is shame. And, you know, as women, we carry a lot of shame through our conditioning, from programming, through culture, through through patriarchy. So it's a really beautiful journey to reconnect with this space, and also connecting all of the room and looking at our menstrual cycle as well.
Yeah.
Again, we weren't taught. Most women aren't taught an awful lot about their menstrual cycle, other than, you know, we breathe once a month, hormones fluctuate, you're likely going to have PMS, and you wear a tampon, you wear a pad. And that's mostly what most of us learn, and we end up growing up not liking our cycle. You know, I'm a racist, so I hate my cycle.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, it's this like, Rochelle, why do I have to deal with this? Why do I have to bleed every month? Why do I get a little bit moody at certain times of the month? Whereas actually, our cycle is really connected to it. It's such a powerful part of being a woman, and you can get so much inner wisdom and guidance through our cycle. We're looking at four seasons. We start with our inner winter, which is our menstrual cycle, our bleed.
Yeah.
This is when the body wants to, and the mind wants to turn inwards. You know, it's just like we're more likely to want to cave, to isolate a little bit. We're not likely feeling so social or wanting to be around so many people. If you have the ability around when work you do, that might be more kind of back end or admin, you know, not as many like meetings or being around people. It's also often a time when our insecurities and shadows come to the surface. And if we can, you know, we can look at that. And I have this where it's like every time I bleed, or just before my bleed, imposter syndrome, like really, really big imposter syndrome at that time of the month. It was just my body is telling me, okay, this is something you haven't met. This is something you haven't healed. This is something you haven't moved through. And so we can get so much information from that time of our cycle. And then we go into the inner spring, the follicular phase. So our energy is going to be improving a little bit. Also in winter, you know, this is where you're bleeding, very little or no exercise, maybe some yoga, maybe a walk in nature, and then follicular or inner spring, and our energy starts to build up. So maybe we're going to be doing more, slightly more intense workouts, and we're going to start to feel a little bit more social, a little bit more out there. So when you might be your ideas, your birthing, you're creating our ideas, and we go into our inner summer, which is our ovulation, you know, our sex drive is at the highest. It's sort of feeling the most like fertile and social, and we're wanting to be around people. We've got lots of energy, and then we can do our workouts to match that phase of our cycle. And then we'll go into luteal, in a full, you know, luteal being the lowest phase in the half. You know, first half we generally still feel pretty good, but you might start to see as hormones start to shift and change in that back end part, that the energy's going down a little bit. You start to feel like it heaves towards that cocoon. There might be a little bit of PMS coming out. But however, very intense PMS is not actually, is normally telling us there's an imbalance in our hormones and in our cycle. But we're going to start some going down the workout, so we might start to eat differently. So cravings like come in, and we get to honor those cravings. So you need to eat a little bit more food. So yeah, there's just so much that we can get from our cycle, and also honoring our body, honoring our energy, also honoring our energy and honoring our hormones, because we are not small men, and that's ultimately what we have been brought up to do. You try to honor a man's body clock, which is, I mean, they have it easy, you know, it's day and night, and they are consistent throughout a month, but we are not consistent, and we often battle that and try and push through that, and then that can end up with us, you know, burning out and having, you know, hormone imbalances. So, you know, it's working with the room and working with the cycle, it is really can be incredibly life changing.
Yeah,
I mean, it sounds like the body of your work has to do with women stepping into their divine, owning their feminine divine, embracing that, and releasing any conditioning that might not serve them anymore. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, ultimately, it's really reconnecting with the feminine body essence and our emotions. And this is where, you know, there's multiple things that plant medicine comes in, breath work comes in, because they really help us reconnect. They also help us release, you know, the programming, the conditioning, whether it's ours, whether it's been passed down to us. And or, you know, to release it until it comes up again. we guess if our little patterns want to come back in, you know, I'm talking about Hoster syndrome, and, you know, that's one that, like, I feel for me, like, anytime I'm making a big shift in the work that I do, that's, it's always something that creeps back in. I have different ways of dealing with it now, so it doesn't kind of keep me completely stuck and frozen.
Yeah. So let's go into the breath work and some of the techniques that you use in order to get people into their bodies, and how that works and how that appears for them.
So when I'm talking about breath work, predominantly I'm talking about conscious connected breath work. And this is multiple different modalities of breath work. And I do, and just very basic breath work is great for nervous system regulation and, again, reconnecting with the body. But conscious connected breath work, it's a specific technique that you're going on a journey. It's a little bit like you love a plant medicine journey.
Yeah.
But what happens is we're building up the oxygen levels in the body in a way that feels safe for the body and safe for the nervous system. And what we do in a reasonably short space of time is we bypass our conscious and our thinking mind. Mm-hmm. And we access the subconscious mind, the unconscious mind, our emotional body, our pain body, our limbic brain, which is similar to what we can do with plant medicines as well.
Yeah.
So in this instance, we're doing it with the breath alone. And a journey could be maybe 60 to 90 minutes, or be around 90 minutes. And we often see big emotional releases, you know, emotional catharsis. We store so much emotion in our body, and actually I find when either someone does a plant medicine journey or a breathwork journey, that's mm-hmm. when they realize how much they've been holding on to. Because, I mean, even me, before I came into this kind of work or my own healing pathway, I didn't know how much I have stored in my body and, like, the heaviness of that energy, because we haven't been taught to really express and healthily move through emotions. Most of us have been taught to just push them down or suppress them, and they live in our body, which tends to come out in physical symptoms. So emotional release or catharsis is a really common experience that I see through breathwork journeys. If we look at how does the body release or purge, the body can purge in a local way. So that can be shaking, you know, when the body shakes. If we look at maybe a dog, for example, and let's say a dog being chased by a perceiver, we have our nervous system with both our sympathetic part of the nervous system, which is adrenaline, cortisol, and start pumping around the body, because this is like the worst with their situation. I'm going to fight, I'm going to fly, we'll zoom right away. Mm-hmm. Or fight, flight, flee, or four. Okay? So, and then a dog would feel run away from the big bear. As soon as it gets to a place of safety, the first thing it does is shake its whole body.
Mm-hmm.
What it's doing is discharging the energy from its body, and it's completing the trauma cycle. As humans, we don't do that. And actually, you see that in most animals do that, just using the dog as an example. So we can shake, and that is that releasing that stuck and stagnant energy that sees that the nervous system has kind of been clinging on to, holding on to, and they've been keeping us in that sympathetic part of the nervous system, which we need that for safety, for survival. But chronically feeling in that state is very detrimental to our mental, physical, and emotional health. We can purge through, it doesn't all have to be, you know, sadness and pain, or, you know, you could purge through burping, you could purge through laughing. I've seen many people purge through laughter, which is really beautiful. It could be dancing, any way the body wants to move, through the breath as well, or sound, making any kind of sound. We often in a breathwork journey, I'll often invite people to, you know, make some noise, or, you know, take a cushion and kind of roar into a cushion. All of this is not like we're releasing this energy, but you can have the rhythm ritual releases in the pelvis, but you can also connect with the past life. You know, you could go into a past life, you could be moving through something that's generational. So you could be connecting with your ancestors. You could be off traveling the universe. You could be hotel or experiences. And very similar to the point that isn't, right? We never know what's going to happen. It's every journey, every person's journey will be different. Every journey you do will be different from the last one that, really, really powerful experiences. And especially for someone, if they don't feel ready yet to step into the world of plant medicine.
Yeah. So what are some of the techniques that you use, or do you use multiple techniques, or do you cater them to the individual that you're working with or to the group that you're working with?
I'll use a particular breathing pattern, which is a parasympathetic breath. It's a nose inhale, it's a mouth exhale. Occasionally, partly through the journey, we might change the breath a little bit, but if I stay consistently with the same breath, that allows people to go deeper into their journey. And then I'm right there in, sometimes as well with a Kundalini breath, which is where we're going to add in a root lock.
What does that mean?
So a root lock is really engaging and lifting through your pelvic floor. So kind of like yoni, lifting up the pelvic floor in a specific pattern with the breath. So it can activate up Kundalini, our sexual energy, our left fullest energy. But again, and did that sometimes with personal energy. I couldn't really do that with someone at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like we're using a more basic breath. Sometimes we're wearing hot glue, so we're actually just energetically connecting to the heart space and the room space. And then different techniques depending on the person. And it's really, I see with breath work, we often people get into their head, is am I doing it right?
Yeah.
With some people are there to, they might not still the whole journey, where other people, if you really are comfortable doing the rest, so they might need to move around a little bit. They probably might need some, physical touch. So we often, when I'm working with Wheeler, when I'm working with Rich, especially retreat, we go through a lot of other, embodiment or body back practices. How do we connect to our bodies? That could be things like tapping, that could be working with the breath, that could be just holding yourself, physical touch. So we invite them to bring any of these into a breathwork journey if they feel called to.
Yeah. What is your technique when somebody is very heady, that they're very cerebral, that they're very analytical, they're very logical, and they haven't had much experience with breath work or just going into their body and being in touch with their feelings? How do you approach that?
Okay, so sometimes the movement piece can help. This is something I actually experienced very recently in a retreat, and it was movement that really helped to allow them to kind of drop in or drop in deeper. But also, another one I try is maybe a different breathing style. It's the same breath, but a two-part breath. So they can actually drop in a little bit quicker. But ultimately, as long as we keep breathing with the technique, though, you will bypass the conscious and the thinking mind. And when I'm explaining the breathwork process to anyone, I'm like, it could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, first and dependent. You're likely going to have some of that multi line coming in. You're likely going to be lying back and you're like, oh, what are we doing for dinner? Why did I come here? Do I really want to do this? I'm uncomfortable. Oh, what's on tomorrow? I've got this in my shoes. I need to go get. I still get that myself. And I just remember, all you have to do is breathe.
Yeah.
So in this case, it's like a belly, chest, exhale. And if it helps them to say that to themselves as they're doing it, it's like breathe, come back to the breath, come back to, and as long as they keep that continuous breath cycle, there will be a point that shifts.
Yeah.
And they shift to that, they alter that state of consciousness. Mm-hmm. But magic kind of found. We would say it's not having people not drop in, it's more that they've kind of given up before they've allowed themselves to go there, or they have got there but they're not going in as deeply. So this is where we'll start to talk about the fallback. There's no, normally that's when someone's like, I'm doing it wrong, or I shouldn't be doing it like this, or why am I mourning, or so this is, we kind of just re-coach them. Is there's no right or wrong, what feels good for your body, what does your body want to do now, does it want to move, is there a twist, is that, and we find that people tend to always get there in the end.
Yeah. I mean, I have found that even myself, where things happen day to day and there's little things that kind of, those little wounds, those little hurts, somebody says something, even, getting frustrated, somebody slams on their brakes in front of me in the freeway. And then those little things just start to pile up without us really necessarily noticing it. And I have had that experience too, where I've tapped into my breath And all of a sudden, it like all of these emotions, they start coming up to the surface to be released, where I wasn't even necessarily aware that they were all there. I think because we hold on tightly, we want to be together and in the world, and we don't give ourselves that space to, after a trauma, to, or we don't even have the tools or the knowledge of how to do it. But if there is a trauma, little or big, we don't really know how to release that energy. And I have found that shaking, moving, brushing things off, and that breath work has been a really profound way to tap in and to really disconnect with what's going on inside of us.
And that, I mean, ultimately, that's it. It's a journey to what inner world, right? Where we're not in our day-to-day, you know, conscious thinking mind, where we're always doing, we don't give ourselves a huge amount of time to fully sit with our emotions. And also, if you're someone like me that, I've apparently grown up for a very long time, I find it really hard to cry, you know, because again, it's like a conditioning of programming that it's weak. So I wouldn't cry if I, so being able to have something like a breath work, it bypasses that part of me that's telling me I need to be strong, and allows me to just fall into the emotion and feel it. And when we're working with breath work as well, we always, and again, the same with plant medicine, we always do a lot of sharing and talking around what could come up, and actually the safety that we could feel in our emotions, because a lot of us have not felt it safe to go into the more challenging or the darker emotions, and there's a fear of getting stuck there.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually want to touch on that because it's such a common fear that people are so bound up with anger or depression, sadness, whatever that thing is that they're holding in. And I've heard it from a lot of people and experienced it myself, where it's like, if I open this up just a teeny bit, then I'm not going to be able to shut the door. I'm not going to be able to close it. And, or, you know, I might cry and I might never stop crying. And I've seen it with other people where they've had that fear, and that's what's holding them back. And that's a pretty big one to bust through. So how do you work with that if they haven't allowed themselves to go to that place before, or they're not used to expressing outwardly?
Well, it's always going to be, slowly. So for example, if someone really had a deep, deep fear of going into their emotions, I wouldn't be suggesting that the first thing they do is ayahuasca.
Right.
You know, this is where something like breath work could be really, really useful. And even just in daily, starting with the daily practice of breathing, with breathing practice, this is a journaling of what do I feel and how do I feel, and or has there been any emotions come up today? Has there been any triggers? Because one thing I noticed when I start working with them, if there is a really big disconnection, is they don't know how to feel.
Yeah.
They can't actually pinpoint. It's really interesting. I'll say, okay, how are you feeling, or what emotion are you feeling? What I hear is a story, but not emotion has actually been specified. So just really starting with awareness, but breath work is a really beautiful tool. Also educating people around our emotions. Okay, so let's say anger, for example. You know, I don't want to go there. Anger is a bad emotion. Women don't get angry.
Yeah.
But what we actually mix anger with is aggression. Two completely different things. Unhealthy anger turns to aggression. But there's multiple ways that we can actually express anger in a healthy way, where it's not really projected onto anyone, because ultimately emotion is just energy in motion that we need to move through our body. Once we allow ourselves to, and the process of moving through it is allowing ourselves to feel it, we shouldn't have to feel it for very long at all. Mm-hmm. And then that energy moves through. So for example, and this doesn't have to be in a breathwork journey, this could just be at home, at ground, hello, and boring. So get onto your bed and shut up temperature, you know, flame, punch your pillow and scream, and it's a really healthy way, and it's kind of fun as well, allowing yourself to go there. Put on a piece of music that kind of really gets you going in that kind of energy, and wave your head around and everyone can dance around. Even, you know, sometimes some people find going to the gym and like lifting heavy weights or doing a good workout. That's a good way to move through anger. There's kind of, you know, I've got techniques that I've used from Kundalini yoga as well. You're kind of like, you're going for a hunt, but you're working with your breath, with a powerful breath, and you're like pushing that energy away from you, moving it through your body. So I think it's really a relearning about what our emotions are and what those more challenging emotions are, and that creating that safety and allowing ourselves to feel them and knowing that we're not going to be there forever. Also with anger, another reason we often don't want to go there is most of the time underneath anger is sadness. Anger is almost like a cover.
Yeah.
A way of protecting ourselves from actually feeling sadness of generally what would be maybe like a little girl inside of us, you know, our inner child.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love what you said about the somatic release. I had a girlfriend come over recently, and I have an almost 10-year-old little boy, and she was showing him all the somatic releases, which one was, you know, cupping your hands over your mouth and screaming while shaking your hips. Another one was that image that you have of laying on the bed and just throwing a tantrum, you know, pounding your arms and pounding your legs and screaming into a pillow. He thought it was awesome and super fun. And I feel like that's a great way at an early age where we can teach our kids how to release that energy in a healthy way and almost kind of like a fun way. Like you don't even have to be in a bad place to go on your bed and throw a tantrum and get that energy out. Because when you do it, you'll feel amazing. And even today I'm doing this training about how to shamanic journey without plant medicine, actually. And the first 5 minutes, it was this music, this drumming, and they said, just get up and dance and move and shake. And, you know, 5 minutes, and afterwards I'm exhilarated. I feel amazing. I feel clear. I feel like I've released, and it was fun. So I think sometimes we can do these things and it doesn't necessarily have to be a point of pain. It can be a maintenance thing or a healing thing along the path where it doesn't have to be so big and so intense.
Yeah. And I think there's the piece that you said there as well is the fun, right? We think about healing as it's got to be all pain and suffering.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. I mean, you know, yes, there's parts of it that are quite painful and challenging, but allowing these tools and these practices to be fun, or also if we allow ourselves to go into these somatic practices, regulate, we don't have the build up and the charge of the emotions. And there might be a little bit of anger worry, but it's not 25 years of anger it's a lot easier to move through our emotions. And I'd love that you're doing a, you know, shamanic journeying without any plant medicines. That sounds incredible.
Yeah. So how do you work with these women in the circle with the breathing? Are you introducing these techniques? Is it in groups or is it individual or both?
I mean, it depends, but both, you know, in retreats, it's group, we do some group work online, and then I also do one-on-one in person and online. So it's, all above.
So if you're doing a 60 to 90 minute journey of breath work to get them to get in touch with their bodies, are you giving them all the same basic instruction for that breath work in through the nose, out through the mouth, and just kind of staying in that for 60 to 90 minutes and just honoring what comes up, or is there more to it?
So, you know, we're moving the, you know, the kind of same technique to work with. We might do, depending on the groups, some different pieces at the beginning as well. I'm always keen on how can we help people before we go into a breathwork journey, calm a nervous system. You know, come into that parasympathetic, whether that is doing some light movements and yoga, some somatic work, a little bit of shaking. We always get the helps them almost start to come out of their head space, you know, their neck up and down into the body, allows them to drop in a little bit quicker. So depending on where someone is in their journey or what they have coming up, if someone's in a big maybe a big emotional release and they need a little bit of support, then we might be there holding them or hand on the heart. Obviously, we would always go over boundaries of physical touch and make sure everyone's okay with that. And if someone was struggling to drop in, then maybe we'd go over to them and give them a slightly different technique or help them it to be able to drop into the ground. Generally, as a group, it's always saying that we are working with people one-on-one through that journey as well. The music and breath work as well is such a big piece. Mm-hmm. The music kind of takes you on a journey as well. And a lot of the music helps women and men to actually activate certain areas of the body or activate emotion.
Mm-hmm. Is it specific music that you're using? Is it is it that drum beat?
Generally medicine music of a wide variety with mm-hmm. some more common or current songs as well that'll come in, but generally it kind of goes in like a wave mm-hmm. where we have one at the beginning. It's really about dropping into the body and, you know, like calming the nervous system. We're going, and then the music starts to pick up. This is all the breath up. So we'll always start with for me it's like a slow breath coming into a moderate breath. And then this kicks up, and my journey tends to come to like a peak. So this might be where they have the big release, if there's going to be a release, like out, downwards, come up. And then we'll get them to more of an inspiration. And I probably see quite a lot of emotions activated in this. It creates journey music that really activates, you know. I'm really good at picking music that makes it and then we go through all like a shower, feeling where it's like it finishes and warm up and meditative type music. Generally, it's medicine music. Mm.
So I've been a yoga teacher for over 20 years, and I work, everything I do is revolves around the breath and the breath work. Mm-hmm. And what I've found myself is that a lot of people have forgotten how to breathe correctly. And so they're breathing from that chest up, and they're not getting into that diaphragmatic breathing where when they inhale, their belly comes out. I've also noticed that people breathe in reverse, myself included. When I started doing the yoga training, I had to retrain my breath that when I did inhale, that my belly went out, because when I was inhaling, my belly was coming in. And when I was exhaling, and I found that super common. And there is a big difference, because I think when we're doing that chest breathing, we're not getting into our body and we're not accessing those parts of us. And when we can dive down into the lower parts of our belly, then we're really kind of activating and connecting with ourselves. Have you found that in your practice? And then if you have, how do you work to teach people to go into that deeper breath?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like I said, most people don't breathe correctly, and we do simply have to retrain ourselves. And I think there's also a big piece of going in a belly breathing, because it's so used to holding it in.
Yep.
Putting on tight clothes.
Yep.
You know, even underwear, even bras, you know, they're restrictive of our breath, and restrictive of our diaphragm. So we'll start with belly, right? Can we just breathe as early as nothing else? Can we feel the belly rise? And then, you know, again, when we look at diaphragmatic breathing, it's our diaphragm is now it's expanding out the size as well as it. So it's like, can we have the hands on if we feel? Can we just breathe into the ribcage? And then we start to combine them. I also find as well, because we're often very restricted in our breath, and what really opens up people's breath capacity is teaching them how to do a self-diaphragmatic massage. So being able to rip start to move all lymph in that area, also being able to release tension around the diaphragm, and it is amazing. And you can do this for 10 minutes. It's amazing the difference. You can feel the capacity of their breath.
Yeah. It's interesting when you said that. I had completely forgotten, but I remember when I started my yoga training, my diaphragm was as hard as a rock, and I thought it was my core, my abs. Mm-hmm. And it was my diaphragm, and it was that restriction around it. And it took me a long time to realize that that wasn't necessarily normal or good, and to let that diaphragm soften. It was hard all of the time.
And this is anything as well, because of, you know, we can say, right, just, you know, diaphragmatically breathe, or breathe into the hands on the side, breathe into the ribcage. If someone's completely locked up in there, they're locked around to, they're not going to be able to. Also, if we go for, you know, if we go for our own like massage treatments, it's rare for someone is going to actually get you to this you to this lady who's the disease so close to, you know, to my breasts, right? Or, you know, when I have a recite or sort of where I'm like itchy cool so much. You know, I know, like, I need to do that myself, and it's such a simple practice, and it just opens up the diaphragm, right? And that, you know, the thoracic area is farting as well.
So it sounds like, I mean, it's very individualized depending on where somebody is, depending on how much they've been able to release emotion in the past or hold it in, depending on how they're breathing and if they have access to breathing into the deep parts of their belly or if it's really shallow. I mean, it's definitely an individual path, it sounds like.
Yeah, it really is. And we need to meet everyone where they're at, because when we're doing this deep work, something that can feel really good and safe for one person could feel really unsafe or triggering for someone else. And the example, you know, we're talking about hand up, right? You know, get a pillow, scream into it, great. But if you've been brought up in a abusive environment, maybe where your mom and dad were fighting and screaming all the time, making that noise could actually be re-triggering trauma response. So action is just less formal, like that thing might do better with like a kind of leading exercise learner, like using their breath and pushing it away. And when we're working on the healing path, we're working on palm medicine, when we're working with breath work, really working with trauma ultimately. And the most important thing is that we have a trauma sensitive and safe space for, because if we don't feel safe, we're going to leave these spaces more dysregulated and potentially re-traumatized. And it's something I have experienced, unfortunately, myself in the past, and it took me a very long time to get over it or move through it and come back to a place of regulation.
Yeah, I do think that the setting is key. Like, it definitely has to be an environment that's nurturing and safe and comfortable. And I think people might need to step into that environment a few times, and each time their wall lowers a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Yeah. Yeah. I went to a retreat not long ago, and I had some anger that I needed to move through. And it was in a group setting where I didn't feel it was a safe setting 100%, but it didn't feel like I wanted to spew that anger out into the room because it was so massive. And one of the people in the retreat pulled me outside and went outside under a tree, and they told me to scream at a pillow. And I was like, are you kidding me? And they encouraged me to do it and just kind of fake it. And so in the beginning, I was just faking it, and I felt absolutely ridiculous. And by the end, I was absolutely blood curdling screams going into this pillow and pounding the earth. And, for quite a long time, it seemed like, but the release after that, it felt like I had shed years and years and years and years of crap that wasn't serving me. And it was so powerful. So I almost think sometimes for people, it's good to just kind of fake it and just play along with it until your body integrates.
Yeah, because sometimes it's just that you're allowing your body to do that. And then in that allowance, the next thing comes is like that safety and that opening and like, okay, my body thinks it's okay for me to go. No, it's okay for me to feel this. Oh, I'm not going to die if I feel this emotion.
Yeah. And so I think that that support for people that are new to it is really important, either one-on-one or in a group, because if you haven't accessed that before, it might feel really scary. And so finding someone that you trust and leaning into that is a really good place to start versus maybe trying to do it alone. Or would you suggest people kind of take these baby steps too and just work alone a little bit?
I think it really depends on where you're at. Personally, for me, like at the beginning, I think having support is really important, especially if you are someone that's wanting to move through trauma.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very important to be held in that space. And also if there is a real disconnection for emotions, how do I go there? Like, you know, for me, I wouldn't ever allow myself to go there. It's through going into these different practices. You know, when I first did breath work back in India 5 years ago, I looked at five breath work journeys one after the other, and I just could not believe that I was able to release so much, but I never would have allowed myself to, you know, to go there to feel that much. And then, you know, integrating, especially if you have big any kind of big releases, it's really important that you've got the support to integrate whatever has come up, and it's things you feel on your own. And also be careful not to force yourself, right? Not to push your body. The body will only show us or allow us to go where it's ready to. So we don't want to be pushing and pushing and pushing. And having someone that understands this and can meet you where they're at, they're going to be able to kind of navigate that journey in a time frame that feels good for you, your nervous system, and your body.
Yeah, and to know that there is no time frame, right? It could be you move through an experience and it releases, or you might have to go through layer and layer and layer and release, and then another layer, you go a little bit lower, and then you release. And then also that work's never done. So we can clear out all the baggage, and then life happens. And so it's this continuous process. We can't just assume that we've released something and that's it.
And exactly that, it's layers. And as beautiful as this journey is, it's not a journey where there's a beginning or there's an end. You move through one thing and then something else will come up. Yeah, you learn how to navigate and move through life in a different way. But there's multiple layers. And yeah, there isn't a timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just talk a little bit about all the work that you're doing, because you are, I've been on your Facebook and your Instagram, and you're doing some really cool stuff. And especially with women. So do you want to share your offerings and how people can connect with you and all that? You have a lot of things that you offer.
My baby is the Soul Rising retreat. So this is plant medicine, breathwork, and feminine embodiment. It's really bringing women together to heal, to rise, to reclaim their feminine power and gift in a trauma safe and sensitive space. A big part of that is sisterhood, sisterhood and community. The retreats are at the moment held in Mexico, which is where I currently reside and live in the jungle. We're working with ayahuasca, we're working with Cambo. We have a traditional way where I enter the self ceremony, breath work journeys. We work through different nervous system regulation tools, somatic practices, day movement and yoga, lots of laughter and joy and fun as well. So that's that's the baby, who wants something that is, you want to be in community and connected to other women, and you feel that you're ready to go on a deep journey, because in the deep journey that you are fully supported and held throughout. We even partners in ayahuasca, we hold ceremony a little bit different. We're not pitched that if you go through something, we are right there by your side, supporting you, holding you through that. So that's the retreats. And then,
well, wait one second, Victoria, what, how many days is that, and how often do you offer that?
Seven nights, eight days. Our next one is, we've actually just had one. The next one is August. So August the 15th to the 22nd. So we've got 12 spaces for that. Seven nights, 8 days, Mexico, Puerto Rico, really beautiful space in the jungle. So that's the retreats. And then I work with women one-on-one in, the plant medicine space. I've had women that don't want to be in such a big group come out to work with me one-on-one for a period of time, or if there's a specific medicine that someone wants to do, if they're working more on just physical health, they might want to work with Cambo. And then in the online space, breathwork, and kind of work with breathwork and coaching. And actually in the pipeline at the moment, it's going to be a micro-ocean breathwork, feminine embodiment online program, which I'm really excited about, combining the two of those.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the best chances to find me will be the website, which is it's www.victoriacrate.com. And you'll see the Sorrows Retreats on there as well. Or Instagram, Instagram is, my handle is I Am Victoria Craig, and it's the R8 energy. I love just connecting and chatting to women on Instagram, building relationships and speaking about the healing journey and the medicine journey and all of the things feminine embodiment.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to thank you. I think that people underestimate the power of the breath. And now I think it's coming more and more and more into the forefront, but it is super powerful and it is a way to tap in and connect with ourselves. And I love everything that you shared about this. So I really thank you. And I really appreciate your time and your expertise and your 7-day retreat or 8-day retreat sounds amazing. So yeah, thank you.
Really good to chat to you. Thank you. Happy day.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Community Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, share, and subscribe. I can be found at www.nikkiyyoga.com, NikkiYyoga.com. Until I see you again next week, I hope you have a beautiful day.